Yeah, that's the very thing. I've been working on this book for many, many years now. You know, I thought it would be done a long time ago, but every time there's something more, so maybe I'm too picky. But to be honest, I am glad I waited this long, because some of the things that I know that have come out as of late that have been added to it, and I believe it's very good. It's very
Amen.
Good. And I don't want to self-publish necessarily. Like, I want to use a professional publisher as well, you know, and then advertise it, because I believe it's a very important message. Amen. The
Amen.
End time. The end time message. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get into session two, and we're going to dig right into the rapture. It's in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
And the reason why I'm saying is, you know, the rapture, it's in the Bible, because I have talked to so many people, you know, they approached me and said, well, why do you teach on the rapture? It's not even in the Bible. And, you know, it's not even mentioned in the Bible. And they used to say, well, you know, you may not see the word rapture, but you don't find the word Trinity either, right? But you can certainly see the concepts
right.
of the Trinity. That used to be my standard answer way back when, till I really began to study a little bit more. And the word, you know, you may not see the word rapture, but it's right there. You know, we're going to look at it in a very clear way, so that you would have to be dishonest to say there is no such thing as a rapture. Because there is a rapture, and we're getting close to it. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that's where it is based on. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, you know, I've underscored it, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the reason why I tackled the rapture immediately is because once you see the end time for the church, it's much easier to understand what the end time for the nation of Israel and the other nations looked like, rather than starting out with the tribulation period, which results in the second coming. You know, I've just opted to go with, you know, our end time first, because, you know, once you see it clearly, then it makes it a lot easier to understand all the other scriptures that have to do with the end time for the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Let's just read the whole thing. But, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Be okay if we just read it, and then we're going to go back and analyze it all. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So here, we have to use a little bit of Bible interpretation. Would that be okay? You know, Bible interpretation begins with, who is talking? Well, it's Paul. That's obvious. And who is he talking to? Well, he's talking to brethren. He's talking to the church
right.
in Thessalonica. So he's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to the nation of Israel. He's not talking to the Gentiles. He's talking specifically to the church.
Right.
Now, my question to you is, what is he talking about? Right? You have to find out, like, what is the topic here? The topic is not the rapture. I mean, it's involved. But the topic really is, what happens to the dead in Christ? What happens to those who have passed on?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Obviously,
yep.
You know, Paul preached the word of God to them. A good number of people in that city came to the Lord because of his message and his ministry. And they must have heard him preach on what's going to happen in the end times. But now, a few people, they have gone, right? There's a good number of people that have left us. They have gone to be with the Lord. You know, they may not have known that exactly. So their question is, what is happening to the people who have left us who are now in heaven? Right? That's a good question. So that's the topic. That's what he's talking about. So as long as we follow the topic, then I believe you can see exactly what he's talking about. So he says, first of all, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that whenever Paul said, for us to not be ignorant about, we've done our best. We have sent people to seminaries, for them to be ignorant about. Is that true?
Right.
Right. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Well, what is the church ignorant about? Spiritual gifts. Here's another one. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. What is the church? What the church has been really ignorant about is end times, right? We have an idea, but just enough to be dangerous, for it to be gloomy and doomy, right? But here we find something else. You know, he even finishes, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So these are not doom and gloom words at all. These are supposed to be encouraging words. Because we know when we follow what's happening, what he's talking about, it will bring a clear picture to us. And I believe that he also says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Sometimes you say that is because you want to draw some attention to what you're going to talk about. So he wants us to become knowledgeable and draws our attention to what he is going to say next. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And that's just, you know, those who have died, right? Because we don't die like the world does.
Right.
You know, when we die, we fall asleep in Jesus Christ. That you sorrow not, don't sorrow, even as others who have no hope. Thank God we have a hope.
A hope, hallelujah.
A future hope. For, he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. See, that's the template.
Right?
The template is the resurrection of Jesus. That's the first fruits. Right. That's what everything is predicated upon. Uh-huh. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, the term bring with them is an interesting term. Mm. It is a military term. With other words, they are going to take the lead in a process, in some events that are going to take place. Mm. It's the dead in Christ, those who have fallen asleep during the church age, who are going to take the lead in this process. That makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So this is not just Paul talking. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus told him. He gave him a special message about this. I find that very interesting too. Because most of the time, you know, we get things by the Spirit. But there are some things that are so important that Jesus will appear to you personally. You got to know this, Paul. I'm going to tell you, he says, I'm going to tell you about this by the word of the Lord. Jesus himself made this clear to him. So I believe it's very important for us to understand and to know that. And it's good to know this because, you know, I've had many people come to me as well. Because I remember saying something to the effect of, if you want to know our end time, the end time for the church, you're going to have to go by what Paul said. Because what Jesus said is important, but he had a different target audience. He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's not talking to the church. If you want to know what our end time for the church looks like, you're going to have to go by what Paul said. So I was called on the carpet for that one time by some well-meaning believers, and we had lunch, not knowing I was going to be lunch. Because they were mad at me. Like, how can you say that? How can you say that what Paul said is more important than what Jesus said? I said, well, I'm not saying that it's more important than what Jesus said. I'm just saying Paul addressed a different group of people than Jesus did. But when it's all said and done, it's still Jesus talking.
Right?
It's still him talking. Except in these last days, you know, God has chosen in these last days to give his messages no longer by prophets, but by his own son, Jesus Christ, who has delegated his messages to us, right? Mm-hmm. He has spoken in these last days, to us through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? It has changed since the Old Testament days. So yep. That's why Paul said, I'm telling you this by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, you know, the word remain is, you know, it's kind of, you know, we're still here.
We're alive, yeah.
Right? We're still here. Like nothing has happened to us, but everything has, what needed to happen to the dead in Christ has already happened, but we're still here the way it is. Unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. Now I remember asking the Lord, well, what does that mean? Well, we're not going to precede them. We're not going to go first. But the dead in Christ are going to go first. Are we in a race? Is this a competition? Like, what is so important about this? Right? Because I'm thinking, you know, I didn't quite get this. I didn't quite get this. What, like, why is this so important that Jesus had to appear unto Paul by the word of the Lord? He's receiving this, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep, the dead in Christ. So what is the big deal here? Well, it's the dead in Christ who are going to take the lead in this process. So, and we're going to watch them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. We're going to watch them. For, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Yay!
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
He's excited about something.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't he? Like, you don't just come down from heaven. You know, it's not going to be gloomy and doomy. It's going to come down from heaven with a shout. He is excited about something. And that's the fact. He's going to meet his bride. Yeah. Or he's going to take his bride with him.
Hallelujah.
To heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. I don't know about you, but if you have an event that involves Jesus coming with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and God blowing his trumpet, it must be a very important event.
Yeah, amen. Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It's got to be a very important event.
Yeah.
So the dead in Christ, you know, this is going to happen, and the dead in Christ shall rise or be resurrected first. They're going to be resurrected first. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't say, like I said in the last hour, it didn't say they're going to be raptured first. I used to think they're going to go into rapture first, and then, you know, and then we're just going to join them. And I'm thinking, well, what's so exciting about that? Right? I mean, I'm sure you can say, well, I was here first. But that, you know, I can't see that being very exciting. Especially not if you're coming down from heaven, right? Like you've come down from heaven and now you're raptured from, I mean, you just came from heaven. Right? Like what's so exciting about this? That the dead in Christ will rise first, and that is a big deal because they're going to be first. There's got to be something to that. Well, just think about it. If you're in heaven and you come down to the earth and you go back to heaven via a rapture, it's got to be exciting, of course. But, you know, what is the big deal? So something must have happened, right? Something must have happened.
Right.
So we'll talk about that in just a moment. And then he says in verse 17, then, so the word then indicates there's a time difference.
Right.
It could be a second later, but it could be, well, if we use the template of Jesus, of the resurrection of Jesus, how many of you know that he was on the earth for 40 days?
Exactly.
Right? He was on the earth for 40 days.
Yeah.
That's the only template that we have.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first fruits. That's the only resurrection that we can go by.
Yeah.
Amen? And what happened? Well, we already talked about that in the previous hour. When Jesus was resurrected, many others were resurrected from the dead as well. The graves were opened, the Bible says, and many of the saints were resurrected and appeared unto many in the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah, it said that.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know about you, but I think that must have caused some kind of a stir. Right? We buried old Joe last week, and he's back.
Yeah.
He's back. I mean, some of the prophets, I don't know who appeared, but I can guarantee you it must have been quite a stir when people rise from the dead and they appear unto many. So is it possible that's exactly what's going to happen at the end of the church age? The dead in Christ are going to be resurrected first. And that may take a little bit of time. I don't know, but there's millions of people up there. Many Christians are up there. The dead in Christ are up there, and they're coming back. They're excited about getting their resurrection body.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? Because even though you're in heaven, and we'll talk about that sometime over the weekend, even though you're up in heaven, heaven is a beautiful place, but you're still missing something. That's your body. Right? You feel like an unclothed spirit, and you can't wait, you know, for you to get your resurrection body back, because only after that you're able to get glorified, just like Jesus. Only if you follow the pathway that Jesus went. He was, you know, he was crucified, he was buried, he was resurrected from the dead. He was on earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Then he ascended to heaven, and it's only after that that he became glorified. So that's what's going to happen to every believer. So that's why the dead in Christ are quite excited. They're going to take the lead in this whole process, because they're going to be resurrected first, and they're going to appear to many.
Hallelujah.
Right? If you go by the resurrection of Jesus. So that could mean, actually, my second oldest son, Javen. You know, Javen phoned me early in the morning a couple of years ago, and he was so excited. About 6:30 in the morning, you know, I'm not overly excited yet at 6:30, but Javen was very excited. He said, "I just had a dream from the Lord." He said, "It's got to be a godly dream." He said, "And in my dream," he said, I was teaching the youth on a Wednesday night like he normally would do. And as he was teaching, all of a sudden he heard his grandpa's voice. You know, so that's my dad. He heard my dad's voice, and he looked over, and there he is standing. And my dad greeted him and said, Hi, Javen, the graves are open. He said, "Oh." And Javen woke up with it, and he was so excited. And when he told me, I got excited, because I said, "Well, Javen, I believe that's exactly how it is going to happen. The dead in Christ are going to be resurrected first and appear unto many."
That's right.
Right? I mean, hey, if you're resurrected from the dead, why would you hang out at that grave? There's nobody there. I mean, you want to go and meet some people. Can you imagine Peter, Paul, James, Smith, Wigglesworth, Brother Hagin, Oral Roberts, you know, John Calvin, I don't know, Martin Luther, all these guys, John Huss, all these guys are going to be resurrected, raised from the dead, and they're going to appear unto many. I think that'll spark a revival.
Yeah,
it'll spark
some.
If you're not awake by the time, I don't know, there's no help. There's no, you know, it's going to do something. As a matter of fact, I remember asking the Lord, you know, when I read that in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 27, after Jesus was raised from the dead, many others were raised from the dead as well and appeared unto many. I remember thinking and asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, I wish you'd give us a little bit more detail about what people were thinking." Right? I would like to know what did people say. So the Holy Ghost in me said, "Well," he said, "read the next verse." Oh, okay. I didn't get that far. The next verse, it tells us about the Roman centurion who beheld all these things, and he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So, can you see that? I mean, people will recognize, hey, this is a godly event, right? This is a godly doing, a godly event. Then we which are alive and remain, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so, no, I can't prove this, of course, but I would say if we use the template of the resurrection of Jesus, there's a good chance that this is going to be an event that's going to take a little bit of time. It could be up to 40 days, just like the resurrection of Jesus. He appeared unto people, not all the time, but he did. He walked through walls. He said, "Shalom," right, to the people. Then he made some fish. right? He made some fish on the side of the lake, you know, for his disciples, and they saw, hey, that's Jesus. So they had something to eat. Could very well be that way, right? Mm-hmm. That the church is going to be on the earth in resurrected state for a period of time. Mm-hmm. I think that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very exciting. Then, so that means, you know, after we have watched all of this, you know, can you, you know, I can only imagine when you see this, then you'll know something is up and you'll begin to look, right? Jesus is here. He's coming, right? Well, he is here now. You know, you will begin to see him, right? Because you see what's going on this earth, you know, the dead in Christ have been resurrected at this moment. So something else is up. We know that Jesus must be here. Then we which are alive and remain, so we're going to join him. Then the rapture is going to take place. We're going to be caught up together with them. We're going to be caught up together with them in the air, in or in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So for a short period of time, the entire church will be on the earth. The entire church, made up of the dead in Christ,
right,
we which are alive, are going to be on this earth. I don't know about you, but that's going to be some event.
Yes. Yes.
Right? It's going to be some event that the world will not know how to handle it. That's why I believe they'll probably talk about aliens took us or something. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So these are very encouraging
words. Yeah.
Right? Like, these people are not just gone. They're going to come back. They're going to come back, and they're on a mission. They're on a mission. Their mission is to get their resurrection bodies, and then together with us, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Praise
the
Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Amen. Yeah.
So let's break it down a little bit. The word rapture comes from a Greek word, harpazo. From a derivative of 138, it means to seize, to catch away, to catch up, to pluck, to pull, to take by force. So obviously there's an unseen force that is going to gather and remove the church from the earth. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, wow.
Amen. Now, it's, you know, this word harpazo was transliterated into the Vulgate, into the Latin, and as rapimur, and that's where we get the word rapture from. You know, it's also used in a rapture, right? As a dinosaur or a dragon who will take his prey by force. So it is kind of the same word. So let's talk about some rapture-like experience. There have been people who've already had a rapture-like experience, such as Philip,
mm-hmm.
right? This is the same word, harpazo. And when they were come up out of the water, it's the Ethiopian mm-hmm. eunuch, and they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, harpazo, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Can you imagine? He's preaching to this Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch says, you know what? I believe in Jesus. Can I get water baptized? So Philip says, okay, if you really believe that, yes, you may. So here's some water. He baptizes this Ethiopian man. He comes back up. Poof, Philip is gone. And Philip, he finds himself. Well, look what it says. But Philip was found in Azotus. So he must have found himself in a different city. In a nanosecond, in a split second, he's here, and now he's been transported through time and space to a total different geographical location.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's exciting.
Wow,
that's the way to travel. Forget trains, planes, and automobiles. That's the way to travel. You just are moved through time and space just in a nanosecond.
Hallelujah, wow.
That's exciting.
Wow, yeah.
Isn't it? Then we know about Paul. He talks about himself here, most theologians believe. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above or over 14 years ago, whether in the body, I can't tell, or whether out of the body, I can't tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Mm-hmm. See, he had a harpazo, a rapture-like experience as well. I say rapture-like because he doesn't know. You know, like he says it twice. He said, whether I was in the body or not, I'm not sure. I couldn't tell. But because if it was in the body, it'd be an actual rapture, right? But if it was just him outside of the body, right, then it is a rapture-like experience. Praise the Lord. So,
right.
But he was caught up. So he moved, not necessarily through time and space, but he went through dimensions. So that's another way to explain the rapture. Not only are you moving through time and space, but you're moving through dimensions. Praise the Lord. So that's what mm-hmm. happened to the Apostle Paul. I met a gentleman by the name of Norman Williams one time at a Full Gospel Businessman. We became friends. He was much older. He's passed away now. But I became very interested in his testimony, in his story, because he testified at a Full Gospel Businessman's that he was part of the worst air disaster,
yeah.
right? Back
yeah.
in 1977, I believe it was, April of 1977. He said, I was in a Pan Am airplane. I was with my boss and his wife. They were more up front. And he said, there was a bomb threat at the place where we were supposed to land in Spain. Because of that, they were rerouted to Tenerife, which is the Canary Islands. Very small airport. A whole lot of these big 747s landed there. And they were taxiing on the runway. It was very foggy. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, another airplane, a KLM airplane, went right over top of him. And I was interested in the story because my uncle was supposed to have been on that plane, and he missed it. Thank
wow.
God he did.
Yeah.
So that's why I was very, very curious
mm-hmm.
about him. You know, so I drove him back to the airport, and he told me all of the details. He wrote a book.
Yep.
It's called Terror in Tenerife.
Yep.
And so he explains what happened to him. He said, I was more towards the back, further to the back of the plane. But where it hit it on the side of the plane. And so the wing caught fire. And he said there was shrapnel all over the place. He said, I got up out of my seat. He said, I don't know why. I was just kind of moved that way. And I began to wave my arms. And as I'm moving my arms, I began to yell out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And it seemed like I am moving back all the shrapnel that was coming towards me. So as it is happening, he said, I looked up and where the ceiling or where the, you know, where the roof of the plane should have been, there was a big hole. So he said, as I looked, he said, I went straight up through that roof and I landed on top of the plane and I jumped on the wing that was not on fire and I jumped off. That's where I broke my ankle.
Yeah.
And then I was carried to the hospital. And the next day, he said, I found all kinds of shrapnel coming out of my hair, right? Like it had hit him. But he said, not a hair on my body was burned. I didn't smell like smoke. I didn't smell like fire. And he quoted that scripture in Isaiah, you know, you will go through the fire, but you will not be burned.
Hallelujah.
Right? So he said, I credit it, of course, to the Lord, but I had a praying mom. And so he said, when I went through that roof, I experienced, he said, a mini rapture.
Mini rapture.
Yeah.
He experienced a mini rapture. So,
right.
I mean, obviously,
can't
he
help.
Went through time and
right.
through space, like through an unseen force, carried him from where he was in a very dangerous place to on top of the plane, then jumped down to the wing. Praise the Lord. We know Brother Hagin,
yeah.
right? He talks about that he went to heaven after he heard a voice, come up to the throne of God where Jesus appeared unto him and showed him his future. He said that he had a, he didn't say he had a rapture-like experience, but it is kind of a rapture-like experience. He went through, not just through time and space, but through dimensions as well, because he was in heaven with the Lord, who began to tell him about his future and about his healing ministry and so on. So obviously, the point that I'm trying to make, it should not surprise us that the Lord is able to move us from the earth through, you know, by using an unseen force and take him to where he wants us to be. Amen? Because many people have already experienced it. And I've not even talked about Elijah. I've not even talked about Enoch.
Right.
They experienced very similar things. So conclusion, there have been people who have been moved through time, through space and dimensions by an unseen force. So the rapture will move the church through time, space, and dimensions to meet the Lord in the air and move to heaven.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's exciting. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's really exciting. Well, let's define rapture. Right? Having said what we said, let's just put a definition on it. The rapture is the last segment in the sequence of events during the resurrection of the church. Does it make sense to you? You could say that the resurrection really began with Jesus, but then when he's coming back, he's going to take the dead in Christ with him. So that's another part of the process. So it is a process. So the rapture is the last segment of that process that we would call the resurrection of the church, in which the entire church, comprised of those who have been resurrected to incorruption and those who have been changed to immortality, are simultaneously gathered and removed from the earth to meet the Lord in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That would do it, yep.
And I use the word simultaneously because that's the way the Amplified Bible talks about it. It happens at the same time. Some things happen by themselves, you know, and you know, they are two identifiable groups, you could say. It's the dead in Christ, it's one identifiable group. And we which are alive and remain is another identifiable group. But once the whole, you could say, the change or the translation has taken place, where the dead in Christ have been resurrected from corruption to incorruption, and we which are alive and remain have been changed from mortality to immortality, then we become one group who is going to be transported to heaven.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
So then let's talk a little bit about the resurrection timeline. You know, it began with the resurrection of Jesus, including Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53, you know, that I've just referred to a couple of times, where it talks about when Jesus was resurrected, many other saints were resurrected from the dead as well. The graves were open, and many of the saints went into the city and appeared unto many. So you could say that's where it all began. That's our template.
Right?
That's the first fruits.
Yeah.
You've got to go back to the model in order for us to understand our end time accurately. So the second thing is the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. He's going to take the dead in Christ with him. The dead in Christ, number three, the dead in Christ will be resurrected first. That's the first thing that's going to happen. Then those, I believe it's going to be us, those who are alive will be changed. Or another way to talk about changed is translated. Right? We're going to be changed, praise the Lord. And that part is going to be done in the twinkling of an eye. So the rapture is not in the twinkling of an eye, but our change is going to be in the twinkling of an eye.
Yep.
In an atomic second. You cannot split that up. So that's how fast it's going to be. So it's the change that qualifies us for the rapture.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Equips
when
us.
Put it that way? Then number five, the entire church will be caught up or raptured together as one body, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
That's it, I believe. That's it. That's as far as I can take it for tonight. Do you have any questions about it or any comments? Don't know where to start something. I know it's not. When you ask for a question, you put it on the spot. But maybe tomorrow, you know, when you think, when you process it all, and well, what about this or what about that? That's usually what happens. But let's, you know, finish here tonight, and then we'll pick it up in the morning. By that time, you ought to be able to look forward. Amen. So let's pray.
Hallelujah.
Just finish it off for tonight. Father, we thank you so much for a glorious ending for the church.
Mm-hmm.
We just thank you that what you have started with a great, glorious initiation, you will finish with an even more glorious event, which is the resurrection and the rapture of the church. We're just so glad to be a part of that. And yes, we thank you that as we see you move and as we see you appear unto us, that we're going to be exactly like you, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.